Welcome Builders from Lakeland, Florida. This is the Build Your Success Leadership Podcast with your host, Brian Brogen. We're going to empower and equip you to build yourself and then build others. Now, let's build up with your host, Brian Brogen.
Hello, Builders. We would love to welcome you to this episode of the Build Your Success Podcast. Here at the Build Your Success Podcast, we like to build you so you can build others. We do that through our coaching, training, and our speaking events. But we also do that through the amazing guests we bring to the podcast. I have my friend, co-author, and just this great guy, Daniel Hayden, on our podcast today. Welcome to the podcast today, Dan.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Ryan.
What I want you to do is introduce yourself to the audience, let them know a little bit about your background and then what you're doing today as the business interrogator.
Yeah, thank you so much. So first of all, thank you guys for listening in. I appreciate that. And again, I know Brian has added so much value to my life, and I hope, you know, as listeners, you're getting that value too. So I have done a lot of things in life. I was a military veteran. I served 4 years active duty, primarily in the 82nd Airborne Division, jumping out of airplanes. I learned how to speak Spanish, sort of. It's gotten better and then worse and then better and then worse. But also, I did 10 years in the reserves as an interrogation instructor. And so teaching interrogation was a really fun job. It's great. You get to kind of mess with your students in ways that most teachers don't get to do. But it's also fun because you're training people to do a job that saves American lives. And so that's also exciting. I was doing that as a contract instructor, and the standards started going down as they pushed through more and more people. You know, it's like, we need more, not better. And I'm like, I don't want less good interrogators out there. And so I started looking for something else. I helped design an advanced interrogation and analysis course. I did a lot of the scenario design work, building giant puzzles where 80 detainees had little pieces of information, and the interrogators and the analysts had to work together to construct what's really going on here. I quit my job and I moved to Honduras to get married. I supported my wife's company, which meant I worked for my wife. And she had a textile export company. I ended up getting robbed, home invaded, guns at our kids' heads, give us all your stuff. That was, I guess, ended as well as it could have. My family wasn't hurt, just a little traumatized. But that led to me getting involved in physical security. We had a owner of a physical security come by to tell us all the mistakes we made in our home security, which is why we got robbed. And he looked around and he said, "Holy cow, you know what you're doing." And so I ended up, he came back to me 6 months later and he said, "My company's bleeding money. Can you take a look at it and see if you can figure out what's going on?" And he had 400 plus employees. And I said, "I think to find the problem, you're gonna have to put me in charge." He put me in charge. So I did that for a while. Next jump for me was back to the US, where I learned cybersecurity at a top 10 global bank. I did cyber threat intelligence, so another intel discipline. And then I ended up going into cyber exercises, which are fire drills for networks, designing disasters, which is fun for me. And then I started doing coaching training with John Maxwell team. I also in some high-end entrepreneurial coaching programs by Dan Sullivan. And that's about the time that you and I met.
Well, thank you for that, Daniel. And number one, thank you for your service to our country. It's always a great thing to learn about people and their experience. But what you have done, the experiences you've had are, you know, greater than some. So just exciting to understand and know the challenges you faced and then the way you overcame those challenges. And now you use that in your business. I want to ask you our signature question here. What does leadership and being a leader mean to Daniel Hammond?
I mean, for me, it's serving others well. You know, somebody asked me at one point, you know, what does success as a leader on a team look like? And I said, I want my people being promoted off my team constantly. If I'm supporting them in such a way that they're outgrowing what they do, that's leadership from my perspective.
Love that, serving them in a well, great way, and then helping them attain that next level. That really truly is leadership when you're helping others become leaders. You know, leaders create leaders is what we like to say in here. So thank you for doing that. I want to kind of take a deeper dive, but before I do that, I want the listeners to know you are one of 40 authors in Voices for Leadership. You wrote an amazing chapter about community leadership. And you also delved a little bit into this as you were talking about when you had to have 80 people trying to find the clues and work together integration. So let's talk a little bit about the importance of collaborating and understanding. I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the clues, if you will. But if I will consult my team, they can help me.
Yeah, I think that's really important. I mean, you can only go so far alone. And even if you're a solopreneur, you need, to use Dan Sullivan language, who's, right? You need people who know things you don't know. And, you know, you can barter for those in some cases, right? Sometimes you're a coach and you need, you know, branding expertise. Coach somebody who's learning branding, right? And you serve them and they serve you and you both grow together. I think there's a lot of opportunities that get set on the table and just not fully taken advantage of. I'm, you know, as I mentioned, I'm in Strategic Coach, which is Dan Sullivan's coaching program. And really the first level, signature level, is how to get a self-managing business. And it's how to work with other people so that you're not doing everything. Because as long as you're doing everything, you know, your business owns you more than you own your business, right? You can't take a day off because your business will die. You know, that's your trap, let's be honest, right? But as you get more freedom and as that business becomes self-managing, then the next level in that program is called 10X. And 10X is about how can we collaborate together, right? What do I do that's valuable that and you do that's valuable that serves the same people? And how can we work together to do something bigger and better than what we can do? So that's kind of, you know, joint ventures, and they call it in Strategic Coach, unique ability collaboration.
Yeah, Daniel, it's so great to recognize that, you know what, I can't offer my clients everything, but I have friends and I, you know, have relationships. And if I can grow those relationships, you know, I left a long-term 28-year career with the same company a little over a year and a half ago to do this coaching and training thing. And one of the things I thought I was looking forward to was not having employees. And as soon as I got out as a solopreneur and realized, man, now I got to do my own proposals. I got to do my own tracking down, you know, chasing down, getting paid, invoices, all the administrative functions that before I was able to delegate to other people, I really missed the team. And so I tell people that I'm really equipped to do team building and reinforce team building. I also learned, as you alluded to, that I need subcontractors, and I still have to have team, and I still have to have relationships. In fact, many times if you go to do a keynote presentation, they don't really hear you again next year, but they'll ask you for a referral. And if we can cross-pollinate and help each other, what a better group it would be.
Yeah, it's fantastic advice.
And I think that, you know, kind of alludes to what you wrote in your chapter on Voices for Leadership, community leadership, and how, you know what, when I think of a leader, initially I'm thinking of, you know, someone standing in the front of the pack, making things happen, warrior type, but it's not always that way. And in fact, you alluded to that earlier. You're talking about, you know, people solving problems. It's going to take more than you. I like to use the analogy that my way or the highway becomes a lonely road.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. And I think, you know, if you want to be a leader, find a community that's important to you. I promise you there's something that needs to be done in that community, and just, you know, take ownership of it, make, you know, ask permission if you need to, but I promise you, whoever's leading that organization is praying for people to come up and going, can I help you? Because that's where leaders are. It is lonely at the top. And so, you know, that's where one of, you know, my first book, Customer Driven Leadership, that was another opportunity. I met my co-author and the founder of this process, Dr. Ted Anders, we worked together to build a nursing school in Central Honduras. And we did that for 5 years, and I never saw him doing what he did, and he never saw me doing what I did. We were just board members of this project. And then we did a dedication, and we had three bishops of Central America there wanting to know, well, what else can we help with? And Ted walked them through a bunch of brilliant stuff. And at the end of, and you know, he's walking through proprietary training I'd never seen before, but I have a knack for knowing what has to come next. And so as he's doing this training I've never seen before, I'm optimizing his training around him. And so he was like, okay, we're going to talk about the, oh, there, all the things are over there where they're side by side. And so, by the end of that, we saw each other in a new light. And I said, I would pay to see you do that in a corporate environment. And he said, come take a look at my programs. And, you know, I've shared with you, one of my superpowers is I can break anything. You know, you tell me you've got the best process in the world and I'll find 15 weaknesses in it. Which is how I help businesses with business interrogation, is I anticipate where they're going to have struggles, or I solve problems that sometimes they're aware of and sometimes they're not very aware of. But he had this system, customer-driven leadership, and it's the one system I haven't been able to break. Because as long as you're doing it with integrity, it's going to solve its own problems. It'll give you a report at the end of the month that's saying, Daniel's a problem. You should fire that guy. And so that's the kind of opportunities that'll flow to you when you have that servant heart and you meet amazing people. You know, the world needs great coaches, it needs great businesses. And if you have a unique offering, there's no competition for what you do, because even your competition, I'll tell you, the thing that throws you into the world of competition is when you're selling a commodity. If you're going for the low priced, the cheapest coaching program, then you're commoditized and you're just like everybody else down at that level. But once you step up and realize your value, people will pay, and the clients that pay more are worth having a lot more.
Ooh, I love that. And what I just heard, and I'm thinking through, I can't sell my value until I recognize my value.
Completely agree.
And when you said that, I thought, you know, recognizing value, how important it is. And immediately I went to, and now that I know that, now that I know this is my gift, I'm in my giftedness, I don't have a problem saying, you know, I understand you can get this at a better rate, but you're not going to get what I offer. And we are all very unique. You know, when I started asking this question about what is leadership almost 2.5 years ago now, and when we created the first book, I realized leadership is like DNA. We all lead differently and we're all led differently. And it just, that led into conversations and discussions. And it's just so powerful when you recognize what is yours, what do you have to offer? And when you invite other peoples to help you do that, it just compounds.
We hope you're enjoying today's podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Build Consulting Services. Are you ready to reduce workplace conflict, reduce employee turnover, and increase your productivity? If you're ready to put Brian to work for your company, give him a call at 863-800-9658 or email him at brianb@buildcs.net. Now, back to today's episode.
Yeah. I was on a group coaching call, kind of a taster call for a program yesterday. And there was a coach on there, and you could tell she is a, you know, executive coach, hot, super high caliber. But as she's describing her problems, looking at it through the business interrogation lens, I just put in the chat, you're not charging enough. You know, whatever. And I didn't know her prices. She thought I went on her website and looked up how much it costs to work with her. I was like, no, your problem is you are not valuing your services enough. And to be honest, 98% of coaches in the world would kill to make what she makes. But her problem is she's not charging enough. It's not differentiating. You know, if you've got 1,000 people who want to work for you for $3,000 a month, you're not charging enough because you can't serve 1,000 people that way. So, you know, you keep figuring out your value, get better and better at what you do, and, you know, up-level yourself as you grow up.
Well, and when you talk about up-leveling yourself, you just have to reach a little harder, a little stronger to stand out above among the above averages. And if you can do that and find a way to do that.
Well, and you know what? I love that. I think it's 100% true, but I look at it another way too, is average isn't looking to improve themselves. So if you're a little bit above average in your growth, that's that 1% growth every month time, you know, you will out improve everybody except for the hunter killers of the world. You will stand apart. You know, if you just do a little bit more than everybody else, you get recognized. Without trying, I've worked with cabinet level officials in 4 countries in 5 different job roles. And it's not something I sought out, but I just keep saying yes to opportunity and growing myself.
Well, that's amazing. I want to back up a little bit. You mentioned your business a few times, Business Interrogation. Give us just, you know, a go-to question. You're going to go to a business. You want to kind of pull back the curtain to find out, hey, what's really going on here? What's the question you would ask a business owner or a director about their business that would help you unveil where some of the issues may be?
Yeah. The first thing just to kind of is I have a 20-minute process where I ask, what is your biggest business challenge? And then I drill into that. And it's typically one of 3 things. They have a problem that they don't know how to solve. They're stuck. Maybe everything is working fine. Maybe they're at success level, but then what now? How do I shake it up enough to start getting growth again? Or they're doing something they've never done before. Like, I'm going to build out this whole new service. What's it look like? I know I want to do more of this and less of this, but they haven't really thought it through. And so, that's a 20-minute process where I just use my military intelligence gathering skills with you as the client. And I just ask you the questions you need to know. When I do higher level, things for companies, I try to break their business process. I interrogate, you know, what happens when a customer has this problem with your process? I love to ask questions. I love values-based businesses are one of my favorites to work with. I like to ask them, if you asked your best customers, what are your values? What would they tell you? So are you reflecting the values you say you care about?
Oh, wow. That's great.
And you can't know that from inside. You have to go outside to ask them what they're seeing. I like to ask them to ask those same customers, if there's one thing that I can deliver for you, that if I just nail that one thing every time, you'll never look for somebody else that does what I do. Because it's most important to them.
You know, to hear you say, ask that first question to clients about what do they say your values are, it reminds me of that simple saying, our actions speak louder than our words. And I think the same can be said for those that, you know, if you have a team, you could ask the employees, hey, what are their values? And they may not align with what you think your values are because that's just not what you're exhibiting.
Yeah, I completely agree. And if it's not measurable, who cares, right? And so that part of the system of customer-driven leadership is employees hold each other accountable for, are you upholding the values of the organization? And are you a good team member? Are you helping us with our team goals? It's a bottom up organizational system for our operating system for organization. So the leader provides the vision. I want to run a company like this. And then they empower the members of the company and infuse them with that vision and have them build them that company and reward them when they successfully do that.
Daniel, that is great. And love to hear the fact that you're helping owners and leaders discover that. I think I always say that the potential is within the organization. The solution, the answer is within. We just got to do some discovery work to find out how and what, and what like you said, the vision is such a motivator. Like when I found companies don't have a vision statement or a mission statement, like you really need that because you can point people back to that in times of trouble when they need to make a decision. You know, a lot of people can't make decisions because they don't even know what their boss would do. You give them your values and you give them your vision clearly stated, then they can bounce that idea or that off of the value proposition and say, okay, well, this is what we stand for. This is the stand I'm going to take.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. And in customer-driven leadership, one of the key components is we call it the playing field. What's the playing field, right? If you just put somebody on a soccer field and you don't tell them the rules of the game, I mean, they're just going to be standing in the middle of the field going, I don't know what to do. Do I go after the ball? Do I stay in my position? You know, they'll have no clue and they'll just stand paralyzed. But if you teach them the rules and you say, these are the boundaries of the game, you can play all the way out to these boundaries. And the goal is to get the ball in the goal while protecting your own goal. Then all of a sudden they start to get, now I know what I need to do. And they can play all the way out to that line. I like to say, you know, you want your team to have the freedom to solve the problems for you, but you don't want them to write a $1 million check to solve a $5 problem. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's where that clarity piece comes in is yes, we want you to be able to solve the problem. There's going to be times and situations you need to ask counsel of. And I think that's amazing. I interviewed Chip Bell probably a couple years ago now. And if you don't know who Chip Bell is, that's an episode you should go listen to. But Chip Bell's an expert on customer service. And he and I talked about the Ritz-Carlton policy where the employees could make any decision, you know, up to $2,000. He said it really wasn't an amount. It was, you can make a decision for the company to take care of our customers.
Yeah.
And when you realize and empower people to be able to do that, and they recognize the reason for it. He said very few people ever spent over $500 to accommodate the clients. But I mean, a croissant or give them something for because their luggage got bounced or whatever the case be, but to know they were empowered to do what it took to make a client happy is just awesome in that business.
Yeah. And, you know, those are the kinds of experiences that build loyalty, both for the customers and also for the team members, because they know, hey, I'm not just here to do a role, but I'm here to be an extension of our culture and to serve our customers and to be able to take initiative and color outside the lines within guidance, right? And that, you know, that is a differentiator. You know, you will remember that person that on your worst day said, what can I do to make this better? Just tell me, I'll make it happen.
Absolutely. And I think those businesses, you know, hear about the word transactional versus transformational. And I think those businesses are transformational. They may not be paying as much attention to the bottom line, but the bottom line is happening because they're transforming lives, they're transforming experiences, and people are going to pay for those types of experiences. So that's just amazing. Well, you mentioned one of your books. I'd like to hear about the rest of the, I know you got several books. So tell us a few books we can find those books and where you can get those at.
Sure. Customer Driven Leadership is, I was the lead author, my co-author, Ted, it's his system. He created it. He has all of 20, 25 years of proof of concept for this system that's, you know, 100x businesses. And, you know, he'd retired for 10 years. And when we started back up, I'm like, I want to talk to some of your clients. And they're all out of the business because their businesses were so successful. They got acquired and bought out. So except for his first client who is running his dream business. And he's been doing it for 28 years on this system. The implementation guidebook, I really would only recommend if you want to go deeper, you want to try to self-implement CDL. It's got, I say it's the it's like the rule book to chess. It's not going to make you a grandmaster, but it'll give you the key components of customer-driven leadership if you wanted to try to do it yourself. Obviously, we have a team that supports that as well. And then I have a third book is called Success Secrets of Disruptors. My chapter in there is called Let's Get Uncomfortable. And it's, if you're not doing something in your life that makes you a little bit uncomfortable, that's a sign you're not growing very much. And so, and then my fourth book is Voices for Leadership, Volume 2, with the amazing Brian Brown.
Well, thank you for that plug, Daniel. I do want to mention on that uncomfortable piece, I conducted, you got the leadership game behind you on the shelf there. For those that are listening and those who are watching, you can see that amazing game. I did that with a company one time, and the gentleman sitting at the table said, you know, when I realized how, when I look back on my comfort zone, I realized how uncomfortable I was in my comfort zone. I thought, I said, man, I'm using that forever. So here, you know, again, I've told that to many people, but just so impactful when you look back on the comfort zone, you realize how it just wasn't really comfortable at all. The challenging people to be uncomfortable is really good. Love that. Well, you mentioned it. So we'll go ahead and ask our listeners, hey, we have Voices for Leadership Volume 2. And for those that are watching, we'll hold up a copy here. This one is about embracing diverse strategies for effective leadership. We put together a diverse group of authors from around the world, wrote some amazing chapters here. You can find that on Amazon. We'd love for you to buy the book. But we'd also love for you to join our monthly live community call, where you can call in. You can, how many times have you read a book and want to ask the author a question? We've developed that where you can call in and ask the author that we're speaking with that day a question about their chapter. So amazing group. I feel like a coaching call because you get to hear from these amazing authors and get advice and experience from them. It's this podcast style, but it's all about the book and we talk about their chapters. So love for you to do that. Thanks for listening to the podcast today. Remember to build yourself and to build others.
Want to learn how to build yourself and build your team? Visit www.buildcs.net and learn about Brian's programs, special offers, and more. Build yourself and then build others.